checking to see if the equipment works correctly. I'm in the home of Mr. William Brutus Howell.
Brutus
Howell in Shelby, North Carolina. Today's date is January 30th, 1991. Mr. Howell, I'd like for you to introduce yourself and say that you know this interview is being recorded.
My name is William Brutus Howell. I live in Shelby, North Carolina. I am aware of the interview that we're now about to participate.
Mr. Howell, when I wrote to you, I told you that I was doing some research. You have it on, don't you?
Yes.
That I was doing research. I'm comparing role perceptions of black high school principals. And in 1964, there were over 200 black high school principals. In 1989, there were 41. And some of them are not principals of traditional high schools. They're just alternative schools. So what I want to do is compare the perception of the role. So I'm interviewing principals from 64 and principals in 89. And you're one of the principals from 1964. So I'd like for you to tell me some things that I can use in my research. To do is to tell me how you became a high school principal.
I became a high school principal from being promoted from the classroom. I was a science and a math teacher. I taught science and math for 7 or 8 years, over in Cherryville, North Carolina, at a high school called John Chavis. And then I moved to Washington School in 1959 as a teacher of science and mathematics. And then when the principal left Washington High School, I don't know the year right now, I can have to go back and check it out. It was 18 days before graduation. The superintendent sent the supervisor to Washington School and said, see if Brutus Howell will be the principal for the remainder of the school year. We need a principal. I accepted, and after closing school and having graduation and filing all of the reports, the superintendent was satisfied and asked if I would like to be principal for another year. I said, well, I'll try it. So he said, you'll have to go back to school. You need a principal certificate. At this time, I only had a high school science and math certificate. I had a master in mathematics and science from Columbia University. So that's how I became principal. I was elevated from the classroom. And I went on to A&T and received my principal certificate the next year. And I stayed there until I retired.
When did you retire?
I retired in 1984.
Now I'm going to ask you something about the school and some of the responsibilities that you had. First, tell me about your high school, how many students you had, how many staff members. Just tell me about the high school.
About 700 students and a staff about 30. It was a union school. Union school grades 1 through 12. I didn't have an assistant principal. The principal did all of the work. Of course, he had a secretary. But as far as being responsible for discipline and the curriculum and the supervision and everything else, it was the responsibility of the principal. Of course, you could get some help from the supervisor.
Mm-hmm. But mainly, it was your responsibility.
It was my responsibility. Mm-hmm.
And all of the students and all of the faculty members were black.
Yes.
Now I'm going to ask you about some of the ways you dealt with your responsibilities. The supervision of your personnel and the teacher selection.
That's good. The supervision of the teachers was done mostly by the principal. And if he needed any help, the supervisor would come out and assist. But it was mostly the responsibility of the principal.
And the selection of your teachers. How'd you get your teachers?
We were blessed there. Back in those days, each school had their own school commitment, as they were called. Each school had about 7 persons on this committee, and it was the responsibility of the school committees to be somewhat of a bridge between the community and the school, and also to accept the recommendation coming from the principal when he selects teachers. The principal was blessed then because they could choose the type of teacher that he thought would be beneficial to his program. So the principal had a freedom of choice in selecting his staff members. You didn't have the interference from the central office. You would make the recommendation to the superintendent, and of course the superintendent would accept that recommendation and pass it on to the Board of Education. Mm-hmm. It's not like it is now. It's altogether different.
Sure. Curriculum and instruction.
Well, we had a flexible curriculum. We had, in addition to the main basic subject, we had vocational, agriculture, and home economics. And in these vocational courses, students had the choice of selecting whether to take home economics or agriculture. And in these classes, they could develop their leadership abilities, which they don't have now.
And what about discipline?
Discipline, we were blessed because the school had their own discipline problem. You decided on your discipline problem as long as it did not interfere with the policies of the Board of Education. The principal and the teacher could use corporal punishment. They did not have to get permission from the parents. They had cooperation from the parent, because when the parent sent the child to school, you had the backing of the parent. If the child got in trouble at home, at school, he was in trouble at home, because the parent would back the teachers up. The parent would tell the child, "You obey the teacher. If you don't, I'll get on you." We were blessed. That was a great reward.
Transportation,
we had bus transportation. I don't know how many buses we had, but it was a large area, and we had students, bus drivers. We didn't have any adults bus drivers. The buses was provided by the County Board of Education through the State Department.
But you were in charge of those buses.
I was in charge of the buses, but of course you would designate responsibilities. We had a division of labor.
That's good. What about the utilization of funds?
The utilization of funds. Well, first of all, where did the funds come from?
All right, tell me where your funds came from.
Part of it came from the state. Part of it came from the county, but for athletics and other extracurricular activities of the school, we had raised through the PTOs, through canvas sales, and so forth.
So you had a good support from your community.
We had a very good community. Our parent took pride in the school, and by the way, the school is still there. They did not close the school.
Well, that's unusual. A lot of the schools were closed after desegregation.
The school is still there. Washington School remained open, even though there was a white school in the same neighborhood, in the same area. They closed the white school, but they did not close Washington School.
Was it because of parental involvement in the...
Yes and no. Partly because the Waco School was an old school. Washington School was built later. It was a more modern structure. So therefore, the state recommended that they would close the old school. And they brought the students from Waco School to Washington School.
Cafeteria management.
Cafeteria management, that was done through the lunchroom manager, the principal, and the teachers. Each teacher had to go to the lunchroom with their child. They would sit with the children as a family to teach them good table manners. If there was a problem, it was the responsibility of the teacher to handle that problem that in the lunchroom. If it could not be handled that way, well, then it was, would be sent to the principal. Okay.
Building and grounds.
That was still the responsibility of the custodian and the principal, but the principal was held responsible for all of it. So he had good cooperation through his custodial staff.
How much administrative power or control did you have over your school site and your responsibilities?
The principal had complete control. The buildings and ground, of course, if you needed assistance, for example, you would need repairs, and of course you would always call the maintenance department. We had a maintenance department. If you needed something, some repairs or additional supplies, you could call the maintenance department and they would make provision for it. But the principal had mostly complete control with his staff.
Is that for your instructional part and just everything? Do you think you had control over that whole building?
Yes, I had complete control.
The people.
I made some notes. Maybe you'll ask that question later, so I'll just wait.
How did the desegregation of schools affect your role as a principal?
Well, I remained at the same school, so it had no effect there as being transferred from one building to the other. We had a high school at first, and then it was after desegregation, it was eighth grade. No, at first it was freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. That was in freedom of choice, I believe, in 1965, 66, mm-hmm. and 67. Then after freedom of choice, they closed the high school. But I remained at the same school, so it did not affect me.
Took some grades from your school?
Just took some grades and some staff members, and I remained there and was happy with the elementary school.
Did they bring in white teachers?
Yes.
Did you find any difference in the supervision of your whites and your blacks?
Well, I'd have to say yes.
What kind of difference?
Because they were not accustomed to being supervised and being under black administration. They were somewhat hesitant in accepting volunteering for special responsibilities. Yet, however, they was very cooperative. But it was something new to them, and it was something that all of us had to get accustomed to. So you could see that there was a difference in their way if they'd been supervised.
And did you have any apprehensions about supervising whites?
No, because I graduated from Columbia University. I attended a white school, and it was nothing hard for me to accept. And I had worked with them in other places.
Did you enjoy your job, and why?
Did I enjoy my job? I really enjoyed my job. But I think I enjoyed my job mostly as a teacher. See, I was teaching science and math, and I was really happy. And I would tell my students, man, I would rather solve these problems than eat ice cream. I said, Mr. Howard, you're crazy. But I did enjoy my days as a high school principal because of the positive feedback that I received from the community, from the parents, and from the students. It made you feel good when you walk up to a student after 10 years. Said, hey, Mr. Howell. I said, hey, man, how you doing? And he said, Mr. Howell, you know, when I was in school, you gave me a paddling. I said, for what? He said, I violated the rule. I said, did it help? Yes, sir. I'm so glad you did it. I mean, when you meet students, and not only that occasion, but there are other occasions, said, Mr. Howell, you have been a blessing. So that really makes you feel good.
What do you consider the major problem?
The major problem in...
of your principalship?
Well, I guess the major problem was not having the necessary funds to get everything that you wanted for your staff and the students. And the inability to get full participation of parents being involved in the school program.
What do you consider most rewarding about your principalship?
That's what I wrote down.
You can read it.
These are some of the things that I jotted down. First, I have freedom to select your staff members. That was very rewarding when you can select your staff member. You can interview them and decide which person you want to fit in this position and that. And then positive feedback from the staff and parents and community. You know what I mean when I say positive feedback?
They tell you thank you, they say I appreciate it.
Thank you, you're doing a good job. And my child came home today and he was pleased with what was going on at school. You have some good teachers there. And then I have the cooperation from parents. It means something when you have parents that will cooperate with your program, when they speak well of you. And then you have a good PTO. Even when we had a high school, we had a PTA or a PTO. And this would give the parents a chance to come in and visit the school and have a discussion with the teachers and discussion in PTAs and find out all about the school and become involved in the school program. You don't have that too much now in these high schools.
You have them in the,
that's right. You have them in the elementary school. And then the freedom to formulate your school policy, discipline policies. You didn't have to go to the parent and said, may I discipline your child? We had our own discipline policies. Each teacher had a copy of it. We would discuss these policies in the PTO or the PTA. And the parents would ask questions and they would back you up. And then the other reward that I have, some of the others, is community pride in the school. When you have a school in a community, the community feel that we are part of the school. And they will rally to your behalf and do all they can to help make your program go over. And, of course, I said something about a flexible curriculum. And student feedback before and after graduation. And a pat on your back from your staff members. Professional, good, positive relationship with your staff. So I was blessed to have stayed in the classroom for 42 years.
That's remarkable.
And I still didn't want to retire when I did, but I said, well, I've been in there long enough.
I told you at the beginning that there were less than 40 black high school principals in North Carolina last year. If you knew of a young black person, male or female, that aspired to be a high school principal in the state, what advice would you give to the person?
What advice would I give to them?
They wanted to become a high school principal.
Is he in college now? Is this person in college or in high school?
In college.
He's in college. I would tell him, go to it. Prepare yourself. Get all of the training you can. And if you possibly can get the job, take it. have great determination and perseverance.
Are there any specific skills you think a high school principal needs?
Yes. I believe one of the greatest skills that whether you're a high school principal or an elementary principal is the ability to communicate with your staff, with your supervisors and your other superiors. Communication and know your subject matter. Be well prepared. But communication seemed to be one of the greatest problem that is needed, and the ability to get along, be open-minded, accept criticism. Those would be some of the things that I would tell him, along with some other things.
Okay, I've come to the end of my interview, guy. Do you have any words of wisdom that you'd like to just have me record?
Thank you for coming. I enjoyed participating.
I am so pleased that you allowed me to come. These interviews that I've done have been so, I've learned so much from hearing you all talk. I thought that I'd find a real difference in the 89 principles and the 64 principles, but I think all of you have the same stuff in you. All of you respond to the questions, especially what's rewarding, skills that are necessary, what motivates them. It's really interesting, and I'm thinking that a lot of the findings that I have will be helpful, especially to those who are aspiring to be principals. It doesn't matter. I think it really doesn't matter if you're black or white. You really still need some characteristics to be a principal.
I left one reward off that I would like to add.
Tell me your other reward.
And that was to have a wife and a family that would support you. I was blessed in that. My wife is a school teacher, a home ec teacher. She retired a couple years ago, and I think I was blessed to have someone to stand behind you. So that was a great blessing.
And she children. She had to share you.
Right. Plus four children.
Thank you so much. This is really good. Appreciate it.